Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
And you're very welcome back. Now, the opposition is set to put the government under pressure by forcing a vote on the eviction ban. A number of government TDs and independents who have previously supported the government suggested to the Irish Examiner newspaper that they may support a Sinn Féin motion. Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald told the Dáil earlier last week that her party would be seeking a Dáil vote on the decision to end the eviction moratorium at the earliest opportunity. It's likely now that this vote will take place when the Dáil returns after the St Patrick's Day recess. Well, joining me on the line at the moment is Owen O'Brien, Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning to you.
Do you feel as though the government has made a huge mistake here in terms of lifting the eviction ban?
I do, and in fact, increasingly when you're reading the newspapers, you're hearing that a lot of government backbenchers think that's the case as well. I mean, there are two problems. First, obviously, is, as we know from Friday's Residential Tenancies Board eviction notice figures, there was a huge number of notices to quit issued in the 3 months before the ban came into effect, almost 5,000 in total. And indeed, in your own county, there was over 200 such eviction notices. And the problem is many of those will fall due from the start of April, and our emergency accommodation systems right across the state are either full or close to capacity. So there's simply nowhere for people to go when those notices are due. But I think what's also surprised a lot of people is the absolute absence of any immediate emergency measures that would assist families either prevent them from becoming homeless or where they find themselves without any homes to go to be living in April, May and June. That absence of a kind of an immediate package of mitigation measures. And I think that's the reason why government has to reconsider the decision. They have to extend the ban. But the ban in and of itself is not a solution. The solution is the kind of emergency measures we've been calling on government to take since last year, both to reduce the number of single people and families with children that become homeless, but also to speed up people's exit from emergency accommodation into stable homes. So The purpose of the vote is to give TDs an opportunity to say they don't agree with the government decision and it needs to be reversed.
Okay, James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, is also on the line. James, good morning and thanks for joining us. Your view on this, do you feel as though, having seen the backlash over the last week or so, that government has made a mistake?
Well, first of all, when we talk about the backlash, I think what we're seeing is some opposition spokespeople like Owen O'Brien, your guest, good morning, Owen, both Owens actually, and I see some media commentary. I don't see a backlash in my constituency. I don't see a backlash in my office. I don't see a backlash if you're back to me. And actually, in fact, the backlash, if any, people are saying, look, what is actually going to be done to increase supply in the market? And that applies, of course, to both landowners and renters. And I suppose if I can put it really simply, if there was a bread shortage and people couldn't eat bread, we wouldn't be going around saying, well, let's put more and more roofs on top of the bakeries and make it even harder for the bakeries to produce bread to solve the bread shortage. But it seems to be that the answer that people like Owen O'Brien and the opposition are saying, every time we know that the accommodation available to rent is reducing, let's make life harder and harder for landlords. And then we kind of question and scratch our heads 6 months later and say, why aren't more people wanting to be landlords? And I suppose just to continue that on for a moment, the majority of landlords in this country are small landlords. They're not the big investment firms. There's definitely a regulation needed for those. That's maybe something for another day. But the majority of landlords are people who maybe inherited a property through a probate, through a death in the family, maybe a couple who got married and one of them already had a property in an apartment somewhere before the two of them came together. The people who, for various different reasons, have acquired a property. In some cases, maybe self-employed people might have bought a property at one stage as a kind of pension pot type investment. And I suppose really what those people are saying now is, why would I actually do that? When I look through the hoops and jigs and wheels I've got to go through to rent out a property, and if I look, I could be stuck with the property now, even if I decide to rent it out for a year or two while probate continues, or while we get on our feet, or while we're getting married. Why would I actually do that when in a year's time or 2 years' time, I could be told, actually, you're stuck with that. You can't sell it now. You can't move it on. You can't go back into it yourself. You can't have a student going to college in Dublin. You can't actually take it back for your student.
Okay.
And remember, your family's returning from abroad. You can't put them into it. But I think it's really important. Why would any sensible, sane, economic, rational actor, like a landlord, evict somebody unless it's for one of those very limited exceptions. They're not doing it to put the rent up because they can't do that under rent pressure zones already. And even if they did want to do that, there's a cap of 2% per annum, which they can already do as it is with the same tenants.
Okay.
So, I think really
so James, you're saying there's no backlash from you in Kildare North. So any of the listeners that we have in the Kildare North area would agree that, you know, that lifting the eviction ban was the right way to go. There's no backlash whatsoever. Oh no, Bryn, it seems as though the opposition are making a big deal out of nothing here.
Well, two things. I mean, first of all, James is right. Single property landlords have been leaving the market in significant numbers since 2017. We've lost about 40,000 rental properties. It's primarily because property prices are high and people are availing of positive equity returning to the market. And that's a trend, according to independent research from the Residential Tenancies Board, that's going to continue. And what's really frustrating for many of us is that the government has failed to put in place an appropriate plan over the last 7 years. That was Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael when they were in confidence and supply together and now in a formal coalition to deliver an adequate volume of both social and affordable homes. This government has missed both its social and affordable housing targets every single year. And the kind of emergency measures that we argued for example, increase the ability of local authorities to purchase private rental homes with HAPA-RAS tenants in situ, or to deliver more social and affordable homes using emergency powers and procurement measures, weren't taken up. So the situation we're in right now is that because of the decision of government, in 3 weeks' time, a very, very significant number of people, and we're talking thousands, the figures from the Residential Tenancies Board show us that in April there will be about 3,000 notices falling due, and then with another 1,000 or so in the 2 months after that. There is nowhere for these people to go. And what I didn't hear in James's response, and we haven't heard it from the government all last week, is what is the advice of government to those people whose notices fall due, who won't be able to go and stay with family and friends, and for whom there will be no emergency accommodation because it is full. Absolutely, the supply is the key issue. But more landlords is not the solution. It's more affordable housing, more social housing. And this government has failed to deliver that. And that is why we have to look at emergency measures such as a ban on evictions. It would be a temporary measure. It would be a temporary measure until we get some of those emergency actions up and running. But what is going to happen from April, May and June is, in the absence of emergency accommodation, some people will be forced to sleep rough, and others, under TUSLA rules, if they have children and if they have no accommodation to go to, will be referred to Garda stations, as it had happened when Owen Murphy was the minister. I don't hear in James the sense of urgency, given the scale of the crisis that's coming down the line in April because of government's decision.
Okay, so more than 4,700 eviction notices were issued in the third quarter of last year, as you mentioned, Owen, and contained within those figures, 219 were issued in Kildare, 123 in Wicklow, and over 1,800 in Dublin. So, James, what is government saying to those people who might be tuning into us this morning who are facing eviction now in the next 3 weeks or so, and those thousands of people who are going to become homeless?
Yeah, so a couple of points arise on that. So in 3 weeks or so, the measure was always timed to expire, I think it was at the end of March. And that was when it was put in place. It was called the winter evictions ban, so the clue is in the name. It was for the winter, okay? This wasn't supposed to be a permanent measure. That was going to become a rolling measure. Now, I think Owen had said in a previous interview he would have ended it coming into Christmas of this year, and I think he might have corrected that. Pierce Doherty said it was January. Neither are good options. So the Sinn Féin idea that let's run this into the next winter and then stop it makes zero sense. Okay, let me just say that first.
Okay, and just to pick up on that, James, should morality really not prevail there, that just because you say it's a winter eviction ban, does it not mean the government has to review it, look at the amount of people who are going to become homeless and then reassess it? Or do you have to stick with it because you said it's only for winter?
Well, no, when you ask about morality, I think that's a kind of, I think this can be quite an emotive subject, and sometimes we can avoid talking about the economics and the reality. And this is a supply and demand, and people don't like talking about difficult human issues in terms of numbers, but you have to solve the problem, talk about numbers. Because ultimately, the way we get out of this whole mess, and one thing I do agree with Owen, it's a mess. I don't agree with the Fianna Fáil part of it for the large part of that time. We're only going since 2020. But moving on from that, we saw this through supply, okay? And demand measures like stopping evictions are only going to reduce supply, because all those couples I talked about and people inheriting properties and people coming back from abroad, etc., are not going to just rent a house. They're going to say, do you know what, let's leave it idle for a year, because actually there's no point. Why would we do that when we see where we could end up? So really the answer is to increase supply. How do we increase supply? We do it in lots of ways. For example, we built 12,000 social homes last year. That's the highest number since 1975. Okay, so let's let that sink in for a minute. It's 1975. I wasn't even born then. We've built more social homes this year. We have gone from 20,000 to 30,000 in 2022 and across the board in terms of housing completions. So housing for all, I said in your programme before, it's a big tanker. It turns slowly, but it is beginning to deliver results. But going back to the question about the winter man, the reason it's a winter man is, and many countries do this, they do it in France, they do it across the continent, they often bring in a ban over the kind of difficult, dark periods of the winter time because it would be nobody wants to be putting somebody out on the road or have that situation happening in the depths of winter. There's a view taken abroad that allow people to regularise the situation coming into the summer months. That includes both landlords and renters. Find someone new. If someone is selling a property, sell it. You know, get a new owner, get it rented out again. That's the summertime at the time to do all those things, not in the depths of winter. But it's never supposed to be a rolling ban that would just run in perpetuity. And I think going back to my bakers and bread analogy, if you were to keep saying about if there's a shortage of bread and the only solution that we ever put on the table is to close down the bakeries or go after the bakeries or tax the bakeries or give them more and more reasons why they can't do it, you know, and then we wonder why bakers are only selling, you know, are only making bread for themselves.
Okay, what do you say to the thousands of families and thousands of people who are going to be homeless in the next few weeks?
Let's say, well, why are they homeless? They're homeless because the place that they're renting, the landlord, for one of the very few defined reasons, no longer is in a position to rent the property. Maybe they'll move back into themselves. Maybe it's being sold. There's a few different specific reasons. It's not to put the rent up. It's not to do all those other things. It can't be under the law. So I say the answer to those people, it's difficult, and of course I will and do work on a daily basis through my constituency office, but the answer to those people, medium-term or long-term, is more supply. Full stop, more supply. And we are not going to get more supply unless they give some little carrot, and it's only very small, but some reason to say to people, do you know what, if you have a property, consider renting it out. If you're renting a property, keep renting it out. If you're thinking about doing it in the future, this is something you should be doing, and put more supply into the market. Along with, of course, things like cost rental, which is already doing. The first cost rental units were launched in the lease kit last year.
That's what you're saying to people to encourage them to rent, to prospective rent landlords here. What do you say to the families that are being made homeless? Yeah.
So if somebody wants to rent a place, you know, it's fairly clear that they can't, nobody can rent a place unless someone's going to rent it to them. Now, I've been in that situation. I've been a tenant myself in the past for about 8 years, actually. And I was evicted, actually, when I was just getting married. We had a small child, and I'm a baby, actually. And we were put out on the street, unfortunately. And it was a horrific situation. We didn't have anywhere else to go. We moved in with the family for a while. But if I look back, it's 20 years ago now, but if I look back as to how that happened, the person whose place we were renting was getting divorced. She was going through a family separation, and she needed it back for herself. It was really difficult, and I completely get that, and I'm not taking something for a minute. I've been through it myself. But should we have said to that lady, you can't have this place back, you're being divorced, but you have to go on the street now instead of us? You know, there's no... Look, this is a Hobson's choice. This is a really difficult situation for anybody across the world to be in. But there is a simple answer, but it's not an answer that comes overnight. Like, keeping the eviction line going for 6 months into next winter, or to 18 months into the winter after it, whatever, really the decision here is build more houses, provide more houses, cost rental, social, affordable, and private houses, and encourage more supply into the rental sector.
Okay, Owen O'Brien, just to bring you back into this, Owen O'Brien, Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing, what's your view on what James has said?
Well, it's clear that James has no advice for those single people, families with children, and in some cases pensioners, who are going to lose their homes in the coming weeks. And it kind of speaks to the fact that the government really just has abandoned renters. 60% of the notices to quit that have been issued, according to the Residential Tenancies Board, are for sale of property. And it is not unreasonable to say, in the first instance, those people should not be evicted while government is putting in place emergency measures to ensure we don't have a surge of rough sleeping or people presenting to Garda stations. James is wrong. The government did not deliver 12,000 new social homes last year. They had a target of 9,000 and they missed it. The minister last week admitted it'll only be about 7,000. That is the third year in a row government has missed their social housing targets. Their affordable housing targets last year were a couple of thousand units, and the minister isn't even telling us how badly he's missed those, but he's missed those as well. So on the one hand, this Fianna Fáil Fine Gael government has been in power for 2.5 years. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were in an arrangement for 4 years before that. So that's 6.5 years where these two parties have had the responsibility of ramping up supply, particularly for social affordable homes, they failed to do that. At the same time, they are the parties responsible for the regulatory burdens that James is bemoaning, impacting on landlords. And it is the policies of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael that have, in some respects, driven single property landlords to consider leaving the market. Single property landlords are going to continue going. We know that from the Residential Tenancies Board research. And our difficulty right now is because government has failed to supply social affordable homes, because government has made a complete mess of the private rental sector, we have a situation where very, very large numbers of people will literally have nowhere to go in a number of weeks. I don't want a ban on evictions permanently. I think it should be as short as possible. But we urged government last October, when they introduced this ban, take a series of emergency measures. For example, local authorities should be buying up on a large scale properties where landlords are selling with HAPA-RAS tenants in situ. The government did reopen that scheme last year, but they badly designed it, and only a tiny number of properties have been purchased in the 10 or 11 months since it reopened. Government is now setting targets for this year, and that's welcome, but they're not fixing the underlying kind of problems with the scheme. So on the one hand, James is saying it's about supply, but his government is failing to deliver the levels of supply. And as a consequence, we're going to have a homelessness crisis like we've never had. These parties have been in power for too long. Rents have risen to historic highs. House prices have risen to historic highs. Okay. Homelessness has risen to historic highs. Social affordable housing is way behind target. And what that shows you is Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael created this crisis. They can't fix it. And the only way we're going to be able to turn the corner on the housing crisis is getting a general election, getting a change of government.
Okay.
Because if anybody out there who's facing eviction listening to James in this interview will go away going, these people have no answers for us, no solutions and no advice when we have to leave our rental homes in a few weeks' time.
Okay, James Lawless.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to make it hardly political, but since Owen has done so unfailingly, and I, you know, literally always does, let's turn it back at him. Okay, so the reason that the landlords are selling up the property and getting out of the market is because they're terrified children are going to get into power in the next year or two. And I've heard that said multiple times around the constituency and around the country. So one of the reasons for the exodus of landlords from the market is because they're actually petrified that Sinn Féin will come in and own everything to be minister, and they won't ever be able to sell their properties or do anything with the property ever again. Okay, so let's just hold that thought. Let's talk about the other points that made. The Help to Buy scheme, which 33,000 people have now availed of, Sinn Féin opposed in the Dáil, voted against it. The First Home scheme, which is being, again, another initiative to try to help people to buy, to get on the ladder, first-time buyers, Sinn Féin opposed it. The Land Development Agency, which is out there at the moment, plugging away, building ring roads, building infrastructure, building sewer connections, water connections, and infrastructure all around the country, including in Ace, including in Selbridge, including in Maynooth, Sinn Féin opposed it, okay? And if we talk about, Owen had this line which Sinn Féin repeatedly trot out, oh, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been in together too long. First of all, we were diametrically opposed for most of the past century, when Sinn Féin didn't even contest elections in this republic. And then if we look at the North, where Sinn Féin have been in power for the course of 20 years, we've almost the same situation, if not worse, and Sinn Féin voted against a number of measures to help ranchers in the last couple of assemblies. So I'm not going to take party political lectures from Owen or from anybody else. But going back to the real point here, which is actually important, is, as Owen wouldn't know because he's not based in Kildare, I deal with people on a daily basis, and today would be no different, in my clinics, in my offices in Ace and Maynooth, and I help people to work with Clare County Council to give the support to people in emergency situations. But as a policymaker, I have to rise above the immediate or emergency day-to-day and try to look at strategic thinking and policymaking that's going to work in the medium to long term. And that only way we can get out of this is if we do that and do that right.
Okay, Owen O'Brien, if we bring you back in here then, and in relation to what Sinn Féin are calling when it comes to an eviction ban, there was some figures being thrown around that you wanted a three-year eviction ban. How feasible is that?
No, and in fact, we've never called for such a thing.
When
would you end an eviction ban was the question there.
Sure. Our current proposal is the ban would run until the 31st of January and then have a step-down period like the government's current ban. But what is more important than the ban is what you do during that emergency period. And in fact, if Sinn Féin had been in government, there wouldn't have needed to be a ban on evictions because we would have delivered the 20,000 social affordable homes a year that is required. Supply is the solution. And unfortunately, despite all of their rhetoric, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are not delivering the volume of crucially affordable homes to rent or buy that people need. And again, the idea that people are landlords are leaving the market because of the opposition is laughable. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are in charge. They're the ones setting the rules and the regulations. They're the ones failing to deliver an adequate supply of social and affordable homes. They're the ones who have sat on their hands for 7 years as single property landlords have exited the market. They're the ones who have failed to take the kinds of emergency measures that I have repeatedly written to Dara O'Brien about. And again, I go back to the central point. The thousands of people whose notices will fall due in 3 weeks' time, this government has no answer for them. Many of those people, by the way, will end up with family and friends. Some of those people will be forced to emigrate because they won't be able to get accommodation here, something that's already happening as our young people qualify from college and simply can't access affordable accommodation. So at some point, James has to accept that the policies he and his party have been either pursuing in government or externally supporting in confidence and supply are the problem. Help to Buy has pushed up house prices. The shared equity loan, widely criticised by economists and independent bodies, is pushing up house prices. And crucially, the delivery of affordable homes for working people to buy is virtually non-existent. So I make no apologies for opposing bad government policies that are actually making it more difficult for people to own their own homes. And the Land Development Agency, how many homes has it delivered in 5 years since its creation? 48 delivered last year, the first homes it's seen, and again only a handful this year. Bad policies by a bad government are making the housing crisis worse, and that is why we need a general election, a change of government and a change of direction. Otherwise, rents will continue to rise, house prices will continue to rise, homelessness will continue to rise, because that is what you get when you put Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government.
Okay, James and Owen, just stay with me for a moment, because there's lots of messages coming in to us on the show this morning, and I just want to read some of them out. Mick in Mead says, surely the eviction ban must be reversed. There's nowhere near enough emergency accommodation available at present, but quite a number of TDs are landlords. This is being done purely out of self-interest, according to Mick. Another Mick in the Salins area says eviction is an old British law going back to the time of Charles Stuart Parnell. Why does it still exist in our day and age? This listener says, please don't mention my name. I'm a renter. I spend half my salary on renting, meaning I cannot afford to save for a deposit. I am in constant fear of being evicted because I know I can't afford to rent somewhere. I had anxiety attacks because of this. How can the government think this is a reasonable way for people to live stuck renting? Another one here says, how can any Irish person defend the eviction of families and citizens from their homes is beyond me. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have created this crisis, and a vote for either party in the future is only endorsing this behaviour. There are a couple of messages coming in to say the eviction ban needed to end. It prevented people selling, as no one wants to buy with renters in place. Others saying that landlords are overtaxed. And also Theresa says, if James Lawless is so confident in their plans, then why doesn't he leave the eviction ban in place until such time as his plan is up and running? James, just to respond on that message from Theresa, because I've seen this being mentioned before as well, is that could the ban not have run in tandem with the government's planning, so that you could get the plan up and running, as Theresa says, but keep the eviction ban in place, as opposed to putting people out on the streets and then hoping the plan is up and running? Why couldn't it be worked by side?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if a message, if either I'm misunderstanding it or doesn't make sense, because she's saying if they're so confident the plan's fine, I keep it running. The eviction ban was never supposed to be a permanent measure. It was never supposed to be a long-running thing. It was supposed to be a temporary emergency winter ban. And go back to the couple of early messages about evictions and being a moral, and obviously we have a lot of history in this country with evictions. In the old days, the evictions were somebody coming in to put people out so they could either rent it out for a higher price or they could gouge people in some way. Let's be really clear about this, okay? There are rent pressure zones right across Kildare and actually across most of the country, certainly the urban areas, okay? Every part of Kildare is included. So any landlord, whether it's a current tenant or if he somehow managed to evict that tenant and get a new tenant in, it's the same rent, okay? It can't, by law, be any higher than it already is. You know, it can't increase it by more than 2% per annum under the rent pressure zones. So the only reason in law why somebody would do an eviction is if they want to sell the property, and there could be all kinds of family circumstances around that. They want it back for themselves because maybe they're getting divorced, maybe there's family moving back from abroad. In the case of urban properties, maybe around Maynooth, around Dublin, there's students and family going to college, and that's why they originally bought it 10, 15 years ago to have it for that purpose. There are the situations where people are taken aback. So if we're thinking to keep the evictions ban going, what we're actually saying is anyone that owns property, it's now frozen. You can't take it. You can't use it for yourself or your family. You can't sell it. It doesn't matter if the mortgage is in default. It doesn't matter if you could actually be at risk of a bad debt yourself, that you could actually be in debt or losing the property because the mortgage might be in default. It doesn't matter that you're being divorced, you know, or all these difficult present situations. That's what we're saying. We just have to be clear about this. You know, this is not the old days of the famine when there are evictions coming in to turf people out because they could double their rent or something. That can't happen. The protection in place for tenants are so much more and so much more comprehensive than they ever were before. And that's why it makes sense in certain limited circumstances to allow this over the summer months to work its way through. And I would wonder, I saw figures quoted last week about there was a number of eviction notices peaking coming into, I suppose, the current period. I wonder to what extent was that preempted by the fact that people knew there was an eviction ban coming down the track, and then over the winter, obviously, they couldn't do it. So that what would have normally sort of worked through the system is suddenly stored up into a block coming out now because they couldn't do it over the last 6 months, and maybe a lot of landlords are thinking, I'm getting out while I still can. But the answer to that is to, again, go back to supply, increase the supply in the market, increase the supply of rented accommodation, but also it is look at the bigger picture and look at getting people into accommodation that is secure, that has a long lease, a reasonable rent, and all that is provided for in law at the moment through the government actions.
Okay, that's James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North. Thanks for joining us, James, and good morning. Eoin O'Brien, final word to you briefly, Sinn Féin spokesperson on housing.
Well, what I would say is this, is that first of all, landlords can continue to sell the property and government has a responsibility where there are HAP or RAS tenants in situ or indeed possible affordable rental tenants to offer market price and purchase those properties. That would allow the landlords to sell and it would prevent the families and the renters from becoming homeless. And the problem here is this, we have a perfect storm of an undersupply of social affordable housing, exiting single property landlords, and a government that has its head in the sand and simply does not understand the scale of the homelessness crisis it itself has created. The eviction ban has to be extended if we want to avert that crisis. That is the only way to give us the breathing space to then put in place the emergency measures to reduce the pressure on emergency accommodation, prevent more families from becoming homeless, and speed up the exit of those in emergency accommodation into long-term secure housing. But crucially, so long as Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael continue to undersupply social and affordable homes to rent or buy, this crisis will continue. They're not meeting the targets that they set themselves. Those targets were too low in the first place.
Okay.
And therefore, in the time ahead, we are going to see house prices rise, rents rise, and homelessness rise. That is what you get when you put Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in government, and that's why we need to get them out.
Okay, that's Eoin O'Brien, Sinn Féin, and James Lawless, Fianna Fáil. Thanks to you both for joining us on the show this morning, and good morning to you. Lots of messages coming in relation to this. We'll get to some of them now, but do keep them coming in to us. A couple of people asking the question, why Kildare County Council won't let sons or daughters or family members build or put mobile homes in their garden or on their land. Questions coming in relation to that. Teresa says we should leave the emergency eviction ban in place while there is still an emergency. Another one here from Domo says, will you stop giving these politicians time to give out nothing but waffle? Get a proper advisor on in relation to housing. Well, after 10 o'clock, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Lorcan Sir. He's a senior lecturer in housing at the Technological University in Dublin. So we will be doing that after 10, Domo, but thanks for the message. There was also another one here that says the fact that the government felt it needed to choose between more homelessness now or more homelessness in the future is an utter failure of policy.
Kildare Today with Eoin Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
And you're very welcome back to the show. Keep those messages coming in to us, 0833 97 97 97. We'll catch up on some more of them very shortly. Well, we've covered the issue of the lack of places on school buses in recent days and the need for better capacity on school buses to get children to school. But what about those children who can't even get into school because there's no places? Well, that's the situation for Claire Shanley and her children or daughter in Salins, who's struggling to get a place in Salins School. And Claire joins us on the line now. Good morning, Claire.
Hi, how are you?
So give us the situation here. Your daughter is 4 years of age. She's of school going age now, but there's no place for her in Sallins. Is that right?
Yeah, so basically she has been told the Sallins National School is oversubscribed and for this year there's no place for her. So for us, as a family unit, well, for her, basically there's no room in the Montessori school where she goes to. So in Sallins, there's actually a waiting list on most of the preschools. So she has no place in preschool for September and she has no place in mainstream school in September. So where does she go from there? She's entitled to an education, but there's nowhere for her to go. And besides that, like as a family unit, she's entitled to go to school with her siblings. Like she should be able to go to school with her siblings. You know, I fear that segregating her away from her siblings, this could affect her in the long term. And she shouldn't have to be. I don't think it's very fair. Also, you know, we're a working family. I'm a teacher myself. My husband is a carpenter. Logistically, I don't know how we would figure that out in the morning or childcare-wise, who we would find that would be willing to bring children to Sallins School and then bring children from Sallins to Carra as well. When realistically, like they can't be in two places at one time. Mm.
So on that, just to put that into context and to explain to listeners, you already have two children in Sallins School. As you mentioned, your daughter's two siblings in that school. She now can't get a place there and you kind of have to look elsewhere. That's what you're being told.
Yeah, so I have been told to seek a place in a school that's maybe 10 kilometres away more. So I have to, if she does get a place there in September because she has to go somewhere, I will have to split myself in two and figure out a way of getting her there at the same time in the morning time.
What's the correspondence been with the school? What have they said? And I completely understand that Sallins is a growing town. There is a large population in the area now, but I would have made this point previously, and not just in Sallins, but in other towns around Kildare. Common sense should have prevailed. They should have foreseen the amount of people that were coming into the county, and should we not have had, you know, infrastructure in place to accommodate that? But what's the school saying?
Yeah, like I'm not trying to point any fingers at St. Lawrence's National School. I already have two children there. It's a fantastic school. I just think, as yourself, they should have foreseen the growing population in Kildare. Who is responsible for foreseeing these situations? Like, you know, it wasn't just my child that didn't get in. There is numerous children that didn't get in this year. So I'm not the only family that's in this situation. So, and in Julia's preschool, there's a number of students that they can get in who also have family members within the school. I don't know where we're supposed to go from here, like, or who do we seek advice from? Or like, even like for families, you know, the cost of even paying for an extra preschool year, you only get two ECC years for your child to go, you know, where are you supposed to get the money from to send her there on top of the extra childcare and the rest, you know? Mm.
You mentioned you're not the only family or only parent in that situation. As I understand it, there's at least 21 children ahead of your daughter on the list.
Yes.
But from talking to people in the area, it could be as high as 60 or 70 people who are struggling to get into that particular school. So it does seem quite widespread.
But you think like that with the number of children that are seeking to get into that school, like it's quite significant. That should have been foreseen. That's nearly like 78 is nearly 100 children like that. Quite substantial. Surely the community should be able to facilitate its needs.
Mm. And again, we're not, as you say, pointing fingers at the school.
No.
We're not putting the blame on the school, but it is
just as a parent, I'm like, where am I supposed to go now? My child is entitled to an education in September, but there is genuinely nowhere to take her unless I'm willing to figure out the logistics of family life and send her miles away.
Can you just explain to us as well what the application process was for the school, Claire, if you wouldn't mind, because there might be maybe people asking the question, did you do everything right? Did you apply properly? Should you have applied earlier, etc.? Just tell us about that.
Yeah, so basically there's a time frame. So they open a time frame for you to apply. I think it's like between the 7th and the 19th of January. I think it's like 2 weeks. So you send your application in and then within a certain amount of days, they get back to you. They did get back to us and our letter said that unfortunately on this occasion she didn't, like she wasn't successful in getting the place because the school was oversubscribed. Following that letter, I appealed to the board of management. So I appealed to the board of management and I said, you know, like all the points that I said to you, you know, Julia, she's school going age, she's six next December. She is entitled to school with her siblings. We're a working family. Like, the logistics of getting her anywhere else, like, please review this case. And they wrote back to me to say that her case was reviewed. But there was no mistake that I think there was 78 children who were prioritised. So and she went on an age basis then because there were so many children. And she happens to be in December, so she was number 21 on the list.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, really, that there's that many children that are affected, and even some of the messages that I see coming in now that it's happening, and other parents in other towns and villages around Kildare are having the same situation. But ultimately, you live in Sallins, she's from Sallins, your daughter, she's gone to preschool in Sallins. A lot of her friends, I would imagine, now are going to go to Sallins National School, but you're being told to have a look at Cara, have a look at Naas and the surrounding areas. Where do you go from here, Claire? What's the next step?
Well, I genuinely don't know. That's why, you know, I'm at the stage where I'm talking to you, Owen, because I genuinely need advice now as a parent. I'm starting to panic, like, I'm a teacher myself, so I also have to be in school at that time. Like, I don't know, like, do I keep her home for a year? That's not okay. She's been in school for 2 years. Like, the social aspects, like, she needs to be with her peers. She, for her development, she needs to be around children. I genuinely don't know. I'm just dumbfounded by the whole situation.
Have you had to appeal again?
So basically, following the appeal, so following your appeal, you can take this thing that's called a Section 29. And as far as I'm aware, you send in your Section 29 to the Department of Education and then they review the case. So it's like an outsider maybe reviewing the case. Mm. So we were in the process of doing that now. But in the meantime, we're in the process of applying to other national schools to see who will actually take her on the off chance that there's nowhere for her to go. Like, we need a backup plan now at this stage.
And how will that work, do you think, then, Claire? Say if nothing comes of it in terms of Sallins National School, Julia might have to go to Cara National School. She already has siblings in Sallins. You're working, your husband is working. How do you think that will work?
I genuinely don't think it's going to work.
Hmm.
Like, I don't think that I could find a childminder that's going to do that. Or logistically, I don't think myself or Niall would be able to figure it out between the timing. Like, we find it hard with the timing of me being in school at the same time as our own children being in school to figure out the logistics of only getting them across the road, let alone having to put them in a car and drive them elsewhere. So I think that it's just something that I don't know genuinely what the outcome's going to be for us.
Okay, well, we'll follow up on it for you, Claire. But again, at the core issue here is the lack of foresight. And Sallins in particular is a rapidly growing town, and it's only going to get worse before it gets better, really, because more and more children are going to need to go to Sallins National School. I know they've expanded it. They're probably going to have to expand it even further, and I'm not sure if maybe plans have been made for that, but we'll make representation for you. In the meantime, you've appealed it again. It's gone to that Section 29, as you say. We'll follow up with you and keep in regular contact, Claire, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's no problem.
All right. Listen, that's Claire Shanley, a listener from Sallins, raising that issue about her child not being able to get into Sallins National School, despite already having siblings in that school. And again, if anybody else is in that similar situation, get in touch with us. Thanks, Claire.